Lovely to have everyone here, and wonderful to have the kids with us, right? Okay, let's pray before we come before the Word of God. Lord, we just want to thank you that your Word is life, and Lord, it inspires us and it draws us in. Lord, today as we sit at your feet again, may we hear from you, and Holy Spirit, may you come to give us a deposit of your Word. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I've titled the sermon, Beauty in Disruption. And I'll be preaching from Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 to the end. We are familiar with this picture, aren't we? This one, yes. Okay, can anyone tell me what's wrong with this picture? Spot the problem. Mm-hmm. Not many people will be able to tell me what's wrong. Right? We're so familiar with this on our Christmas cards, at every Christmas event. But did you know that the wise men did not visit Jesus in the manger? Let's look at the scripture. Matthew chapter 2, verses 10 to 11 tells us this. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Going into the house, not the stable or the manger. Okay, so Joseph and Mary had started to raise their little family in Bethlehem in the region of Judea, okay? And they had been there for some time, as Jesus can be estimated to be around 2 years of age, okay? So it's supported, okay? Otherwise, Herod wouldn't request to kill all male children under the age of two, wouldn't he? Look, Matthew chapter 2, verse 16 says this, "Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under." So what this means is that when we read these little details in Scripture, we realize that, hey, the wise men didn't visit Jesus at the manger. That's one. And two, Joseph and Mary had kind of settled down a little bit to raise their little family, you know, as Jesus' earthly parents in Bethlehem, in the region of Judea. So, you know, estimates go around, Jesus was around about 1 to 2 years old around then. We're not very accurate, but that's why Herod had to kill, order to kill all the people, under all the young males under the age of two, right? So Jesus could be up to 2 years of age. A little bit like where I am now, okay? My daughter is around 1.5 or coming to 2 years old. And you know, Mary and Joseph, they knew that Jesus was the promised Messiah, right? I mean, angels appeared to both of them individually, and they have shared the instructions and prophecies to both of them. So they knew that Jesus was no ordinary baby. And of course, bringing him up faithfully, right, according to how they would do it. And then now, a couple of months later, wise men came on to add on to the validation that Jesus was the coming king. They did, and they got that message through the reading of the stars, you know, and they came and presented gifts. So Mary and Joseph will probably be like, everything is going great now, right? Everything's okay, it's smooth, it's all right. Okay, and they probably got their systems in place. If they wanted to find something to take care of the young toddler, they would know where to find it, right? So, and they probably built their little community. So if they needed help, maybe a neighbor could come in, things like that. And everything was going well. But all of a sudden, things don't go according to plan. And that is where we come to today's passage. And I have, as always, 3 points for you. The first thing is this. We trust God in a disruption. Now, Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, was told to disrupt his entire family, you know, to move to Egypt. I don't know about you, but if it was me, suddenly you asked me to change everything now, it's going to be really, really tough. And I don't know how Joseph felt, but the thing here is that Joseph obeyed readily. He did it. How many of us are ready to disrupt everything in an instant? And how many of us can trust God in what might seem like a disruption? Where we might see disruption in Joseph's life as we read this passage, God is providing safety through the disruption. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 reads this. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." How many of us like to travel to countries is quite evident today. And most of us are very familiar with airport security procedures, aren't we? For those of us who have no recollection of taking a plane before the year 2001, I can't even say 20. For those of us who are too young, let me share with you some grandfather story. Just a couple of years ago, airport security was totally different. Did you know you could bring water bottles up the plane? Okay, and no one would steal your Swiss Army knife. Over the years, to combat threats such as terrorism, especially after September 11, 2001, that fateful day, there are many prohibited items that can be hand-carried onto a flight. Today, you need to repack your... If you're taking budget airline, you cannot check in your bag, you have to repack your soap into 100 ml bottles, right? Otherwise, what will happen? You would pause, you have to take out, and they might seize those items. There might be people who are unhappy with having to pour away their expensive Evian water that they just bought outside, or have their Swiss Army knife confiscated. This example sounds a little bit too personal. Anyway, but for me, you know, I feel unsafe in airports that do not exhibit such strict controls. I personally feel safer when the X-ray machines are right outside the boarding gate, and much like our beloved Changi Airport. A biased opinion here. But because there are airports where the scans happen only when you, after you cross that departure gate thing, right, and before the customs, immediately they start checking your water and check whether you have prohibited items. Right, they don't do it before you board the plane. But my preference is before the plane. Why? Because strict bag checks, to me, shows me that I'm safe. Come on, be as strict as you can so that I know that when I get on the plane, someone else is also being checked. So what is our perception of God as our safety and our refuge? Our beliefs guide our actions. Can we see God's love in our disruptions? We go back to the Old Testament and, you know, an example where the Israelites... they had a somewhat negative or misconception about God, right? Let's look at what they said about God after he brought them out of slavery in Egypt and made them cross the Red Sea. Exodus chapter 14, verse 2. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron, the leaders that God appointed. Verse 3, the Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." They didn't trust God to provide for them. They didn't think that God had their best interests at heart. How do we perceive God? There was another Joseph in the Bible that was disrupted. And as we look at his life, I don't have time to go into absolute detail. So what if he was the favorite child of his father Jacob? What happened to him? He was despised, his brothers were jealous of him, and they betrayed him by selling him off as a slave. What can we learn about this Joseph? You see, this Joseph, even though he was disrupted, even things didn't go according to his plan, or what he thought was a good life, he chose faithfulness and humility. Did he complain all day or sulk for everyone to see? Or he exhibited negativity, going around saying, "Oh yeah, my brother betrayed me. Oh, terrible, my life is terrible, my life is terrible. Oh, no." Was he going around whining all day? I would argue that he did not. Because the scripture said he found favor with his Egyptian master. Some of us here are managers, supervisors, and bosses. We have people under us. Now, no master, right, would favor a worker who walks around all day with a black face, complaining about every little task, and only knows how to complain, cannot do anything. No manager would favor that kind of person. And so when we look at the scripture, Genesis 39, verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. and he lived in the house of the Egyptian master. Verse 3, when his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him a success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Do we have a revelation that the Lord is with us, especially in our down times? Will we complain about God loosely? Or learn to see that even in down times, the Lord is with us and his favor is upon our lives? You know, just as I was preparing for this sermon, then I titled it wonderfully, Beauty in Disruption. Yesterday morning, I had a wonderful disruption. What happened? I was rushing out of the house trying to meet my family for breakfast. Okay, and as you know, with a toddler, those of us who have toddlers and brought up children, you know how difficult it is. So we were kind of running late. Okay, got out of the house anyway, but we were running late. Tried to put her into the car seat, something happened, twisted her arm. And those are familiar with toddler things. There's this syndrome called nursemaid syndrome, something like that. It happens when you yank, the arm is yanked in the wrong angle, okay? And the elbow kind of dislocates. It's not life-threatening. It's not a dislocation, but it basically, there is some discomfort. So what happened is then my daughter wouldn't lift her hands, not the first time. So then we know, oh dear, you know, something's wrong. And the only way to get it fixed, and it's a simple fix, but the only way to get it fixed is to go to the A&E, right? Pay $200 just for the doctor to do some simple maneuver, which we cannot do. And then it pops back in place and immediately it'll be fine, right? So, of course, me, you know, I was grumbling. Yeah, oh, unhappy at the situation. Oh, I had to drive to A&E. Ah, yeah, I cannot go breakfast anymore. Looking forward to the breakfast. Hungry, you know. When men hungry, men grumble. Yeah, so we drive on the way down, and we were a little bit upset, visibly upset, and I got permission from my wife to share this. And of course, she was upset. And we were driving and driving, you know, disruption. Ah, I don't like disruption. Then we learned from the prayer ministry, Taylor Smith and Kathy Smith the other time. So prayer. So Fiona was, you know, spiritual, so she prayed. She prayed for Kaylee, prayed one time. Then Kaylee said, again. She prayed two times. And then suddenly, her hand could go up, no? You can ask Fiona. I was driving, of course my eyes were on the road, so I don't know what happened. Then she said, okay, ready. And then I look at the mirror, the rear view mirror, and her hands were lifting up. And because the only way to know that it popped back in place was that the hand must be able to lift up by herself independently all the way up. And she did that. And I said, test again. And I said, oh, steady, no need to go A&E. So we turned around. They're still wondering what happened. But you see, I was grumbling about disruption. Wow, hypocrite, preach beauty in disruption. There's no beauty in my disruption. But at the end, I was convicted, and guess what? A little disruption like that, and we got to experience a miracle right before our very eyes in the car. I didn't get to see it, but Fiona did, because I was a good Singaporean driver looking at the road, and a responsible father. Yeah, but we got to experience a miracle for ourselves, a small one, but nonetheless, all glory to God. And we now have a testimony to share with our family who are not Christians. And maybe it sparked something in their hearts. There is beauty in disruption. Okay. Next point. God knows the why for the disruption. Let's look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious and sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem. You know, we don't have knowledge of what is to come or who is going to come against us. Or what kind of dark situation we'll face. Especially going to 2026. Who knows what will come up. But thankfully, for the believer, we have a God that is outside of time. He is not bound by space. And he has all the knowledge and understanding and wisdom. Can we trust God to disrupt us, to protect us from situations that are detrimental for us? In this case, King Herod felt threatened by the wise men or by what the wise men had said about Jesus. You know, perhaps there was a level of his political insecurity. He was anxious. People would steal his influence and paranoid, right? And it all resulted and manifested in violence, in drastic measures, in the massacre of young, innocent children. And God knew. So he had to disrupt Joseph's entire family and livelihood that he had built and move them to Egypt. Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, and they didn't do anything to challenge Herod, did they? All they did was to kind of, you know, was born in a stable somewhere, no room for them, and they're just living a very quiet life. They didn't do anything to challenge Herod directly. The wise men, they were just following the signs and they were just interested to find out, hey, who is this king of the Jews? They innocently shared with Herod and asked him a question based on their study of the stars. We cannot control how other people feel, how they are, how they react to things. But we can choose to hear from God and obey his leading. There will be times where disruptions seem to be totally unexpected, a major inconvenience, or it even causes us to hurt very much. And the impact can be huge. And there will be times, in fact, most of the time, we do not see why a disruption is necessary at all. Everything is going well and good. Everything is smooth. Why must God change it up? I was doing so well in my job. Why must there be a restructuring? And my role made redundant, some of us might think. Others might say, me and my girlfriend, we were so great together. Why must that other cooler person come in and steal her away? A personal question I asked for myself in earlier years. Why did I study accountancy, become an auditor when I am better at everything else but numbers? Well, today, I have skills and knowledge that I find extremely useful in ministry. And I would never have gained it without this little disruption, what I assess to be a disruption. When God disrupts us, can we trust that God is on our side even when it doesn't look or feel like it? Looking back at my life, there are people and situations that I had to walk away from. It was very, very uncomfortable at that point in time. It even hurt a lot. But only in hindsight can I say that it was the Lord's protection. It was the Lord's leading and guiding. And bonus points, past stories and past hurts are used today by the Lord as a testimony to those around me who are going through similar things. And this has happened for many of us, and it can happen for everyone too. There is beauty from ashes. Because God is interested in our overall well-being, our character success, and only He can see outside of the present. Can we place our lives in His loving hands? My third point is this, and is to wait on the Lord in our disruptions. Joseph and Mary had to endure a period of time in a foreign land. Some sources estimate it to be around 2 years. 2 years of silence in a foreign land. Had to rebuild everything all over again. Look for a new preschool for Jesus. Maybe. Not funny, eh? Okay. Well, I mean, I find it difficult to even not look at my phone for 2 minutes. Talk about 2 years of silence. But the Lord never forgot them. Joseph and Mary were obedient and faithful. They just did what they were led to do. They stayed in Egypt until the Lord sought them out again. Matthew chapter 2, verse 19 reads this, "But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead.' And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel." It's so interesting to know, to note that the Lord was always the one leading and guiding Joseph. The Lord was always the one sending an angel to appear to Joseph in dreams, to speak to him. It was always the initiative from God. The Lord is proactive in his guidance. And perhaps, maybe our role is simply to hear and to obey. I know some of us might say, if an angel appeared to me today and tell me all the instructions I need to know, of course I will obey. So easy. Valid. I got you. That's why I thought about it, right? And have an answer to that question. We should allow the Lord to speak to us if it is so easy. How should we do that? Most of us are consuming Netflix all day long, watching social media, Instagram sweep to TikTok if you have. If not, you go to Facebook, you go back to Shopee, then you open Carousell. Then you realize, 2 a.m. sleep. Got time to hear from God, meh?
Set aside time and space to hear from God. Do we keep still enough to hear God? Maybe in our business, what we all really need is to get away and be silent with God. Oh, just nice, there is this silent retreat. The Roses are having one in January. Still can sign up. I think there are a few slots. Go and be silent. Maybe you'll hear from God. And one thing new I've tried to practice was to drive without playing anything on the radio. It seems so counterintuitive. Normally, you go into the car, you immediately press on. Some of us don't even turn it off. Engine on, radio on. Those laughing, you know what I mean. So I did that. Once I said, why I should spend time with God. The only alone time I get is inside the car. Okay lah, talk to God. Turn off the radio. It was silent. Just me and Jesus. I imagined him sitting on the passenger seat and I was speaking with him. And it was amazing. It was interesting because that day it really felt like there was this conversation going on between me and Jesus. Well, that's me. You can try it and let us know how that goes. And today we also have the Word of God. We have the church community, and we have the Holy Spirit in us to lead and guide us. As lovely as it might be for God to send an angel to appear to us in our dreams, we have the Helper, the Holy Spirit, in us. John 14, verse 26, Jesus said this, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." As Joseph heard and obeyed the leading of the Lord, he faithfully fulfilled his mission as Jesus' earthly father. Simple man, not so much details were written about him, but he did it. The family finally settled in Nazareth, in the region of Galilee. And if you understand a little bit of the geography and the political situation at that point in time, Galilee was not a prestigious region. The cooler places were Judea and Jerusalem. And Nazareth was a small town in an outcasted, despised region of Galilee. So it was the small of the small. Humble and unassuming. What a huge difference from where they started off. In the region of Judea. Matthew 2:22-23, right? He withdrew to the district of Galilee and he went and lived in a city called Nazareth so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. Nothing went according to Joseph's plan. Perhaps from our human eye, but in God's eye, everything went according to plan. And prophecies were fulfilled. So can we find beauty in our disruptions? You know, we're not promised a disruption and rejection-free life once you come to Christ. But what we are promised is that we will always have the Good Shepherd on our side. He will defend and protect us with his rod and his staff. He will walk through our dark valleys with us. He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies, Psalms 23. As we end off 2025 and we look at 2026, if there may be disruptions, let us face them head on and find the beauty of Jesus amidst it all. You know, I can talk about disruption. I would like to end off today with possibly the biggest disruption of all. The Son of God taking the form of a lowly baby. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8 reads this. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." Those who are familiar with 6-7, this is 6-7. The Christmas message found in 6-7. Verse 8, those who don't know, never mind, it's okay. "And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Jesus took on disruption upon disruption that we might receive grace upon grace. There is beauty in disruption Just looking at every aspect of Jesus and his life. The cross, the power of God and the salvation. What a magnificent disruption from which all of us who believe have life and life abundantly. Let us pray. We allow the word of God to speak to us. And if there's anyone that today the message spoke to you and you want this Jesus into your heart, in a short while I'll lead you in a prayer and you'll receive Jesus into your heart and your life will never be the same again. After that, I'll pray for the rest of us. Now, if you want to receive this Jesus into your life, you can repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you loved me. I thank you that you died on the cross for me. I acknowledge that I have done wrong. I am a sinner. But I know that at the cross you paid the price for my sins. My sins are forgiven. I receive you into my heart. I want to follow you and know you the rest of my life. We stay in an attitude of prayer, and if you pray that for the first time, please let a Christian know. It's huge. I pray for the rest of us. Father, we just want to thank you that we have you. Even when we have nothing, we have you. And God, in our disruptions, we have seen you. And Lord, if we are going through a disruption, I pray for anyone in this place, Lord, that are going through a disruption in their life. Father, I pray that they might find you. Lord, never leave us. Please don't forsake us. And always be close to those who need you, to those of us who need you. Lord, I ask for strength. And I ask for your leading and guidance in our everyday things. God, we want to know you more. We want to have confidence that you are our God that is for us and with us always. Father, I pray that you will bless us as we end off the year. And we commit all that we have unto your hands. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.